In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. A member of a former congregation once asked me, why do we have to start the year with Advent? Why not just start with Christmas? And my answer was a bit of a surprise to her. I said, for the same reason Handel had. I don't understand, she said. So I continued, when you set out to tell a story, it's best to start at the beginning. For example, Handel's great oratorio, Messiah, tells the story of Christ. The somber opening chords place us in the darkness of exile. And then the tenor comes in, singing the words of the exilic prophet Isaiah in the context of the message of John the Baptist. There's a voice in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I said, Handel was telling the story the same way the writers of the four Gospels told it. None of them started with the Christmas story either. They all began with the baptizer out in the wilderness, calling God's people to prepare, bearing witness to the light that was coming to shatter the darkness of their bewilderment. To get the story straight, we have to start at the beginning. And the beginning of the story of God's Messiah is an acknowledgement of how things had been up until the time of his birth, and the promise that God would someday put finishing touches on all of creation. God is moving in our direction, always. As I said, the story of God's Messiah begins in the days after the Israelites were defeated by the Babylonians, and many were carried into exile. It was a time of darkness and mourning because they were cut off from the promised land and from their temple, which was the center of their worship. Back in the days of the Babylonian Empire, when a monarch traveled through his dominions in his slow and simply made chariot, engineer soldiers known as sappers went ahead in order to build the road the king had to travel. They had to level the hillocks and build up the ditches and fill in the holes so that the royal chariot might make some progress with some kind of speed. The prophet Isaiah, who brought the word of hope that God would come to rescue God's people, used the imagery of road construction to emphasize the point that God's approach was underway. To prepare literally means to push obstacles out of the way. To make paths straight means no detours. The result of all this road building was that the king would get through. Have you ever been away from home and become lost? I certainly have. What a feeling of despair can come over you when that happens, when you're lost. I had a conversation yesterday in a department store with a man about a time when I was a boy and I went shopping with my mother, and I thought it would be really cool to get up underneath the clothes rack and hide, and it was really neat where nobody could see me until I walked out of it and couldn't find my mother. I was very upset. Another time I wandered away from home and walked down the street, and suddenly I realized I didn't know where I was. And I started crying. I was terrified. I didn't know the way back home. And one of the neighbors saw me and recognized me and brought me inside her house and telephoned my mother. And my mother said to her, tell him I'm on my way to get him. Those were very welcome words for a little boy away from home and lost. Even though it was just a few hundred yards, it seemed like an eternity. So John the Baptist, for the gospel writers, becomes a kind of sapper intent on preparing the royal highway for God, who is moving in our direction. He came then, and his message is repeated in this and every Advent at the beginning of the story. Tell my people I'm coming to get them. This God bulldozes a way through the wilderness to get to us because we can't get to him. Wherever you look in your life and you find that feeling of exile, lostness, and darkness, lift up your heads. God knows where you are, and God is moving in your direction even now. God is leading us out of our wilderness and towards some place called home. What is your wilderness like? Now, wilderness is not really a place. It's a state of mind, a metaphor to describe a terrifying situation where wild beasts lurk. There are no clear paths, and chaos, temptation, and bewilderment reign. It's the address where many of us have spent some time, maybe are living now. I'm thinking of a time in 1995, 23 years ago, when I found myself suddenly in the midst of a vocational wilderness. I discovered that I was being called out of the church I had grown up in and in which I had served in holy orders for over 20 years, and into this church, the Episcopal Church. And during that period of time in between, I really felt like I was in a wilderness. In December of that year, I had phone conversations with two friends who were Episcopal clergy in different parts of the country, people who didn't know each other. And at the end of those conversations, each one of them said to me, "Welcome home, Ron." And that was the beginning of this kind of homecoming feeling that I had. And then when I went to work, in Christ Church Cathedral in Houston. The dean offered me a job there, and the bishop said I could go to work there. And that was the place where in 1966, I had my first real, genuine experience of a vocation. So it really was like going home. And I'm happy to tell you that everywhere I've been over the last 23 years in this church, from one place to another, I have felt more and more and more like I'm moving toward home. I feel at home. I felt that way in Texas, in Kansas, in Kentucky, in Michigan, in Wyoming, in Colorado, and now right here in Mississippi. Part of it is because the ethos and the liturgy of the Episcopal Church resonates so strongly with my spirit. It's also because of the beauty of our churches. But more than anything else, really, it's the people that I have encountered who've opened doors for me and welcomed me and made me feel at home as you have. It's important for us when we find ourselves in the wilderness to know that God is reaching out to us and leading us to a place called home. Some people in our parish are in the midst of a wilderness now, a wilderness of illness, a wilderness of a vocational or career choice, the wilderness of identity, the wilderness of loneliness and lostness. And the good news for us, all of us, when we find ourselves in a wilderness, that God knows where we are. God is always moving toward us, coming daily to lead us out and to lead us home. God is moving all things toward completion when God will apply the finishing touches that only God can apply. I know how easy it is to look at our wilderness and ask, where is God? Where's the God of justice and mercy? What is God actually doing? Is anything really getting any better? The Jews must have asked that question a million times there in the exile. But there is the witness of Scripture and millions of lives who have caught a glimpse of how God is continually moving the creation toward completion, wholeness, and fulfillment of all the divine plans. Maybe it's so hard for us to recognize because it is such an intricate and complex thing that only God is able to really see how it's going. Paul's words to the Philippians speak to such questions as these. Listen to them. Paul writes, "I am confident that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of the Lord Jesus. And the baptizer recalls the words of the prophet Isaiah to speak of God's finishing touches in this way, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. God is moving all things toward completion. Advent is about remembering that and preparing the way for that to happen in our world, in our nation, in our church, in our hearts. We've heard a bit of news the last couple of weeks about the president of General Motors Corporation, and I've been reminded of a story that comes from the time when Charles Kettering was president of General Motors. He used to drive every weekend from Detroit to his home in Dayton, Ohio. And one weekend, he invited a colleague to make the trip with him. His colleague asked how long the drive would be, and Kettering said 4.5 hours. Well, the associate said it would take much longer than that, and they argued about it, continuing the argument as they drove. They arrived just as Kettering said, in 4.5 hours. And the associate said, "Well, no wonder you can do it. You didn't stay on Route 25. And he said it with such a tone that seemed to say that no driver in his right mind would leave the roadways marked in red on the map. Kettering took the blue roads, which actually were the most direct. And therefore, he reached his destination in 4.5 hours, as he expected he would. Well, like Mr. Kettering's associate, we are map wise, but life foolish. But God is not. God is not lost. And God is coming to us. God knows exactly where we are, coming to lead us out of whatever wilderness we're in to some place called home. And God is coming to move all things to completion. That is the divine plan. It's God's administrative policy. And it's an unbreakable promise. And even when we can't see how and when, we have to have confidence that our God is coming over a highway that is the most correct and the most direct way, with hills leveled, valleys filled in, crooked ways straightened out, to bring all creation, including you and me, to completion and to put the finishing touches on everything. So let us take the time that's necessary during this time of Advent, the beginning of the story of our Messiah, to prepare the way. Amen.